All right, well, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Many in our body are going through difficult times right now, so I wanted to spend the next two sermons studying this encouraging passage about God's comfort in times of affliction. So please follow along in your copy of the scriptures as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. This is the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Today, my plan is for us to cover verses 3 through 7, and then next week, Lord willing, we'll study verses 8 through 11. So the title of the message today is Strength to Endure. And I want to study verses 3 through 7 under four headings. Heading number one is the God of comfort. Paul begins this section on God's comfort through affliction by praising God. Notice verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Blessed means praise, adoration, that God would be well spoken of. As Paul encourages the Corinthians that God comforts his people in their afflictions, he wants God to be praised through all that. As Paul describes how God delivers his people, he wants God to be glorified. Paul wants God to be well spoken of among the Corinthians as they consider God's preserving and sanctifying work through trials. And that's my desire for us today as well. I want all of us to be encouraged by who God is and how he cares for us, how he comforts us through affliction. And ultimately, I want God to be glorified through all that. I want your view of God to be magnified and increased. As you consider God's sovereign care, as you consider his tender mercies, as you are reminded of his all-sufficient comfort, I pray that your heart will be encouraged, your faith will be strengthened to press on during your current trials, and I pray that your heart will be stirred to praise God, to praise your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort. So may God be praised during this time of affliction, during this season with COVID-19. May God be praised. May he be glorified as we trust him and as we depend on him through our afflictions. So Paul is directing his praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says. And then Paul goes on to further describe the Father with two titles there in verse 3. Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So let's briefly consider those one at a time. Father of mercies. What a beautiful title for God the Father. Mercy speaks of God's compassion, of his kindness, of his pity to those in need. And if you think about it, one of the chief attributes of God is that he is a merciful God. Psalm 145, verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." God is a merciful God, and His mercy is beautifully demonstrated in the gospel, where God looks on our sinful state. He looks on our pitiful condition, our desperate need, and He responds with compassion, with kindness, with pity. He responds with mercy. Even though our sin is rebellion and disobedience toward Him, God shows us kindness in Christ. The Father sees our desperate and pitiful condition, that we're lost, that we're in bondage, that we're completely unable to save ourselves. And He shows us mercy by sending His Son into the world to save us from sin and death and Satan. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever." Verse 10, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." Verse 11, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." You see, that's describing the grace of God and especially the mercy of God. Oh, believer, think about the mercy God has shown you through Jesus Christ. How God sought you when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. How God came to you then in that condition and gave you new life through His Spirit. Rather than condemning us as we deserved because of our sins, He forgave us all our sins and credited us with the righteousness of Christ. He rescued us from our wretched condition and adopted us into His family forever. He is a merciful God. And I was reminded of 1 Peter 1:3, another letter where an apostle starts off praising God. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," Peter says. "According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." God has been so merciful to us. He has shown us such mercy through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that God then continues to pour out His kindness, pour out His compassion on us every day. I love that verse in Lamentations. "His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness." Paul highlights this then in our context by calling God the Father of mercies. Father of mercies. How appropriate when considering God's help in our time of trials. Again, God knows our frame. He knows that we're dust. He knows that when trials buffet us, that we're weak, and God sees our weak condition. He sees that the burdens are too heavy for us to bear, that left to ourselves, we'll be completely undone. We'll be completely off the rails. And so He comforts us in our times of trials. He helps us in our afflictions, which leads then to the other title that Paul gives for God the Father there in verse 3, the God of all comfort. What a beautiful way to refer to God, the God of all comfort. When we hear the word comfort, we tend to maybe think of someone, you know, just kind of patting our hand and saying, "Oh, there, it'll be okay," right? But no, comfort is a stronger word than that. Comfort comes from the Greek word parakles, where we get the word paraclete, one who comes alongside to help. When God comforts us in times of affliction, He provides real help for the time of trial. Comfort involves consolation, it involves encouragement, it involves strengthening of the heart. So think about that. During times of trial, God comes alongside us and He comforts us. How? By giving us strength to endure the trial, strength to persevere, the grace to keep trusting Him, the grace to keep following Christ through the affliction. God helps us by giving us strength to endure the hardship while still clinging to Christ, while still worshiping the Lord Jesus, while still holding fast to His Word. That's the comfort that God gives. God is the God of all comfort. He is a God, remember, who comes alongside, a paraclete, who comes alongside and gives help. When we're battered and bleeding on the road, God doesn't move past and pass by on the other side of the road. No, he comes near. He comes alongside to help. Think of that beautiful verse in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Our Father is a merciful, comfort-giving God. Our Father is moved to mercy when he sees his children suffering. He is quick to comfort. He is committed to coming alongside and helping them. So, like Paul, we should praise God for who he is. Praise God that he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And that really leads us then into our second heading, the promise of comfort. Again, he praises God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who, referring back to the Father, comforts us in all our affliction. God is a God who comforts us in all our affliction. I love that. He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction. Every trial, every persecution, God comes alongside to help us through it. God, our Father, is never going to say, you know what? I'm just going to sit this one out, right? I see you're really burdened, but I'm just kind of frankly tired of helping you right now. No, he's never going to do that. He comes alongside every time and comforts us in our afflictions. Now, this doesn't mean that he immediately takes the trial away, right? Remember, comfort often involves giving us strength to endure the trouble. But understand that comfort also entails real consolation, real consoling, right? A real sense of his loving presence during the trial. And so just be encouraged that you are never going to suffer alone. As a follower of Christ, we never suffer alone because our God is a very present help in times of trouble. He promises us to comfort us, to be with us in all our afflictions. And Paul continues to reiterate the certainty of God's promised comfort throughout our text this morning. Look at verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. He's like, it's a certainty. When we share in sufferings, we're going to share in that comfort. And this promise of comfort is also found down in verse 7. There Paul says, at the latter part of the verse, we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. So again, it's a certainty. To share in Christ's sufferings always involved in the experience of God's comfort through that suffering. Sharing in sufferings always included sharing in comfort as well. So God comforts us in all our afflictions. And again, that word comfort comes from the word paraklês, paraclete, the same word that's used. And I'm sure when I said it earlier, a lot of you went to the Holy Spirit, right? That's how the Holy Spirit is described in the Gospel of John, a paraclete. He is the comforter. He is the one who comes alongside and helps us. So think about that, loved ones. God is already present with us. He's dwelling in us by his Spirit, the paraclete. He's already there helping us and comforting us in time of trouble. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And during times of difficulty, especially, he comes alongside with special grace, special comfort, and increased strength for us. In times of sadness and loss, God draws us near. He holds us close and comforts us. And when we're facing times of fear and doubt, God comes alongside and strengthens our faith and helps us to not be afraid, as we considered last week in Psalm 56. During times of discouragement and weariness, God gives strength to our spirit and encourages our heart to press on for the sake of Christ. God promises to comfort us in our afflictions. As we suffer for the name of Christ and suffer even just as a result of living in this fallen world, God always comes alongside us with comfort. God will comfort you, loved one. He will console you. He will draw close to you. He will give you strength. Keep trusting him. So be encouraged as you go through these trials. that God is there comforting you. Now, if any of us are suffering as a result of our own sin, then in those cases, I think the Holy Spirit's focus is not so much on comforting, but on convicting, right? God calls us to repent of our sin, to turn from it and embrace the Lordship of Christ in our life. And for some here today, maybe you need to do that for the first time. You need to admit your sin and ask God to forgive you on account of Christ and His shed blood. Trust in Him alone for your eternal salvation. And again, believers have to continually do that as well. As we sin, we repent, and God is faithful and just to forgive us, and we continue clinging to Christ, and we know the promise that all our sins have been forgiven. And the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from our sins. And so God will forgive. God will forgive our sins, and we may still have to suffer some natural consequences for that sin, but we know that we are reconciled to God. We know that we're forgiven, and then we know that God is going to help us through times of hardship. So, again, to echo Paul's words, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He promises to comfort us in our affliction. And the reason I chose this passage is Abounding Grace Church, I know that many of you are going through trials right now. Job loss is hitting us hard in our body. Some of you are dealing with chronic pain or disease. Others facing mistreatment from other people. Some even are dealing with persecution from unbelieving family or other unbelievers. I just want to encourage you today that God has not left you in your time of affliction. God has not left you to suffer alone. He is with you, and He has come alongside you to help you. He is comforting you in the midst of your trials. He is helping you. He is consoling you. He is reminding you of His love and of His plan. He's giving you strength to endure, and He will comfort you. He will continue to comfort you in the midst of your trials. So just know that you're not alone. Sometimes, sadly, we turn to other things to comfort us, but may God help us to draw near to Him in faith and experience His loving comfort. Through the means of grace, put yourself in the best position to receive the full force of God's comfort. Believe the promises. Trust your Father's heart, even when you can't see the details of His plan. Through Christ, we have the promise of God's comfort. And that brings us then to point number 3, the passing on of comfort. Not only does God comfort us and give us the encouragement and strength we need to persevere through trials, but this passage shows that God has even a further purpose in the lives of others. Look with me at verse 4. Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we are to pass on that comfort. You see, having been recipients of God's comfort during our times of trial, later then, God will give us opportunities to pass on that comfort to others who are also going through affliction. God pours His comfort into our hearts. He nourishes our souls. And then later, we are able to channel that comfort and cause that comfort to flow into someone else in their time of need. And, you know, I'm sure we can picture what that looks like, and maybe you've had those opportunities, or others have done that to you, right? It doesn't have to be a shared experience. It doesn't mean that you've went through the exact same affliction that they have. I mean, that can be helpful sometimes because you know the specific temptations they may be facing. But notice it says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Right? It doesn't have to be the exact same trial. Just be there for them. Show Christ's love to them by you loving them in their time of need, by you weeping with them. Right? That's what Scripture calls us to do. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Come alongside and just console them. lovingly point them back to the character and promises of God. You know the temptation that they're facing, the temptation to doubt, the temptation to be afraid, the temptation to want to be in control and to feel yourself not in control, right? Because you've experienced that through your times of affliction, and God comforted you and sanctified you through that. So you can help them at the proper time, right? We need to be sensitive and know when is the right time to share truths with them. We want to certainly be with them. And then God will give you opportunities at the appropriate time to share what God has taught you through your trials and how you found God to be faithful to you. You see, this is how God comforts us, right? I was talking about the promise of His comfort, and certainly we can experience that personally as we partake in the means of grace and God ministers to us directly. But other times, God ministers to us through other people, right? Because we may be so weak and so burdened that it's like we need someone to help us, to lead us back to God and to the promises of the gospel. And so we've experienced that. And then as we experience that, then God will give us opportunities to do that for someone else. I just love how God is so caring and how He provides for His people. He's comforting all of us in all our afflictions. Right, because it says we can comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So this is all from God. God's comfort is just being multiplied through the ministry of Christ, through the ministry of the Word, through the ministry of the body of Christ. And then that was verse 4. Verse 5 gives the reason why suffering equips the Christian to mediate God's comfort. See, it starts with the word for, so he's given a reason here. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Whenever Christ's sufferings were, what Paul's saying here is, whenever Christ's sufferings were multiplied in Paul's life, God's comfort was proportionally multiplied in his life. It was proportionally given to Paul through the ministry of Christ. So what verse 5 is saying is the greater the suffering, the greater the comfort that came from God. The greater the ability then to pass on that comfort to others. Right? That's what he's getting at here. Now, you might have noticed that phrase, share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. What does that mean, to share in the sufferings of Christ? Well, it's probably easier to first say what it doesn't mean, right? Paul doesn't mean that, talking about we somehow share in the atoning sufferings of Christ, Christ has paid it all, right? He is, His work is finished. He alone, as the sinless God-man, can atone for our sins, and He has accomplished all that is needed to provide salvation for those who believe. But the Bible says then, as believers, we are called to follow Christ down the road of suffering. We are called to share in the sufferings of Christ. And as we share in those, as we suffer for His name, the Bible explains that our sufferings actually contribute to the fulfillment of the suffering that's destined for the body of Christ. Colossians 1:24 is a helpful cross-reference here. Colossians 1:24, there the Apostle Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake," says that to the Colossians, "and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, that is, the church." So again, it's just the Bible is explaining that there's a certain amount of suffering that's destined for the body of Christ to experience because we identify with Christ. And it helps us draw near to Christ. It helps point others to Christ. It helps us follow in His steps. But coming back to 2 Corinthians, let's not forget what Paul's point in verse 5 is, that God always comforts us, and He comforts us to the degree of our afflictions, which means that as we are comforted, as we are encouraged, as we are strengthened, then we are able to take that comfort and take what we've experienced from God and pass it on to other believers in their time of trouble. That's what he's talking about, this passing on of comfort. Look at verse 6 then. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, Paul says. He's talking about himself, his co-laborers as well. He's like, if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort, Corinthians. It's for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Now get this truth that Paul's getting at here, because it encouraged him. It helped him endure sufferings because he saw what God was doing through it. So Paul's saying here, not only then through sufferings is God sanctifying him, but God was working through his sufferings to bring about salvation to the lost and to bring about growth in believers. So you see, as God's comfort enabled Paul to suffer for the sake of Christ again and again, others were being pointed to the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ. I mean, think what others, again, by God's grace, as he's opening their eyes, think what they're saying as they're observing Paul and the persecution and the suffering he went through. Some of them must have been saying things like, wow, the gospel must be true. Because why else would Paul keep proclaiming Christ knowing it just brings him trouble? Jesus must be Savior and Lord, because somehow he is sustaining Paul through all these perils. I mean, people then were trusting in Christ because of the suffering that Paul was experiencing, and more importantly, because of the comfort that God was giving Paul to be able to endure that suffering. People were being saved. God used this truth to encourage then Paul, to sustain Paul through his times of suffering. God's like, Paul, I'm at work here. And so Paul recognizes that, and he's sharing that with the Corinthians. And notice he says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we're comforted, it is for your comfort. So not only was God drawing people to saving faith in Christ, right, for your salvation, but God also worked through the afflictions of Paul and his co-laborers for the sanctification of believers. Right? Again, in a similar way, other Christians were encouraged to persevere in their trials because of God's sustaining grace to Paul. See, he says at the end of 6, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. So the others were seeing Paul suffer. They were seeing God comfort him, sustain him through that suffering. And so then that gave them strength and encouragement and courage to face the sufferings that God had ordained for them. They saw Paul and others being comforted by God to suffer for the sake of Christ, and so that enabled them to patiently endure the same types of sufferings. And again, I can just imagine some of the things that they were saying, either out loud or at least in their heart. You know what? I will trust God because I see how faithful God has been to Paul. Wow, following Jesus must be worth more than all this world has to offer, because Paul has lost everything in order to follow Christ. So you see how God can work through the sufferings of his people and the comfort he brings to his people. So, my dear brothers and sisters who are suffering right now, be encouraged, because God is at work in you and through you. Not only is he using your suffering to conform you more to Christ, but he will work through your testimony in the lives of others. God will use you and use how he's sustaining you through trials. He will use that for you to be able to point others to Christ. As you patiently endure suffering, as you keep praising God and keep trusting in him, and as you follow Jesus and keep serving him, you are shining a spotlight on the gospel. You're shining a spotlight on the goodness of God and the beauty of Christ. It's like our suffering gives us a platform to bring glory to God and to be used by God. Others will see the emptiness of this world, and they will embrace Jesus by faith. Believers will be reminded that God is good and faithful, and they will keep trusting him then through their trials. Christians will understand that God has not called us to a life of ease, and they will cling to Christ through their road of suffering. So praise God. Praise God for his abundant comfort, which blesses us and then multiplies into the lives of many. What a good God he is. What a faithful God and a wise and loving God. Look at what Paul then says about the Corinthians in verse 7. This is our last heading, by the way. Fourth and finally, we see the result of comfort. The result of comfort. Look at verse 7. Paul says this about the Corinthians. Our hope for you is unshaken. Wow. That's quite a statement. Our hope for you is unshaken. Paul was confident that the Corinthians would endure their trials, that they would persevere through afflictions while staying true to Christ. Why? Why would Paul say that? Was it because the Corinthians are so strong? Was it because the Corinthians are so faithful? No. He says that because he knew that God's comfort would continue to come to them. God's comfort would continue to sustain them. Look at what he says, verse 7. Our hope for you is unshaken, for, here's the reason, we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. God has promised his comfort in our sufferings, and we are assured that we will receive God's comfort. Again, either directly from God through our personal times with the Lord, and or through his people encouraging us with the truths of the gospel. So, because we know that God's comfort will come, we know that we will be able to endure the affliction. And that's what I mean by this last heading. The result of comfort is that endurance. The result of comfort is perseverance. Perseverance in the faith. Paul could say it to the Corinthians, our hope for you is unshaken. And we can say that to each other, loved ones. Our hope for each other, even through serious times of affliction, is unshaken. Again, not because of ourselves, but because of God. Because he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And he has promised to comfort us. And he's given us a body to pass on that comfort to us. So, again, loved one, weary saint, you will overcome this trial. You will overcome the affliction you're facing. No matter what it is, you will get through it because God will get you through it. By God's grace, the trouble that you are experiencing will not do you in. You will come out on the other side, and God will use you to strengthen others as well. Praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies. He is the God of all comfort. And so may you, loved ones, experience his comfort. May you experience his peace during your times of trial. And may God be glorified as we comfort one another, as we receive and experience his comfort, as he enables us to keep pressing on in faith. May God be glorified as we follow Christ through times of affliction. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we praise you. You are such a beautiful God. We praise you for your sovereignty, for your power. There's no one like you. And then we praise you for your tender mercy. You're a loving Father, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. What a beautiful and caring God you are. Thank you for never leaving us alone. Thank you for always coming alongside us and helping us, for being a very present help in times of trouble. Lord, we praise you for your mercy that we've experienced through Jesus Christ. You have helped us from our greatest affliction, our greatest trial of bondage to sin and death. And we know you will be faithful to continue to care for us. And Father, I pray for our church. I pray for believers everywhere who are suffering. Lord, I know there are many in our body who are going through afflictions, Lord. They're facing great challenges now. Oh, Father, please let them feel your comfort. Help them to put themselves in the best place to receive that comfort, Lord. Pour your grace, pour your strength, pour your love into their hearts. Hold them close to you. Take away their fears. Take away their anxiety. Strengthen their weak knees. Give them faith to trust you. Give them hope. Give them peace. Give them joy. and help them to keep pressing on, not in drudgery, but in joy, in faith, in love. Help us all to keep following Christ during these times, to keep making disciples, to keep seeking to bring glory to His name, seeking first His kingdom, His righteousness. And Father, give us eyes of compassion for those around us, Lord, who are struggling. Lord, those who are in various trials, various affliction that this season has brought upon our country and our community. Father, help us to point them to You. Help them to know that You are a merciful God, that You forgive sinners. You forgive all who come to You in repentance and faith. And Lord, help us to be an instrument of Your grace and a channel of Your comfort to other believers, Lord, to point them to lovingly encourage them, point them to be with them, and point them to Your character and to Your promises. So I pray that Your comfort would just multiply through our body now. Even as we can't all gather together at the same time, Lord, You've given us other means to encourage one another. Help us to do that, we pray. Thank You, Father, for never leaving us or forsaking us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me close now, loved ones, with a benediction. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it.